Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another solo mission to take a look at this week's ROH episode, which I believe is episode 508 that aired a couple days ago. Welcome if you are a new listener. Welcome back if you are a returning listener. Generally, it is myself and my son on Saturdays talking about a whole bunch of wrestling, but on Mondays, I've started talking about ROH on my own as he's not interested in any empty arena wrestling at this point. So I thought I would come back and talk about some more ROH. It's going to be a busy week for the podcast this week. I think later today, Jack and I are going to sit down and talk about NXT In Your House, the takeover that happened actually last night. We've got some thoughts to discuss about that one, so we'll sit down and do that later tonight. As well, I watched Impact Wrestling's Against All Odds pay-per-view, finally got through that. Just finished up my notes on that a little while ago, so when I find time, I'm going to sit down and talk about that one as well. That one might be another solo mission, as Jack only watched the final couple matches of that show. But at some point, I hope to carve out some time to record that, because I know there's some people that look for the ROH and Impact stuff, because it's harder to find other places. So I will try and get that done for you at some point this week, too. So just check back wherever you listen to this episode and see when we put out anything new, and we'd really appreciate you giving it a listen. If you'd like to provide some feedback or contact us in any way, that would be amazing. You can contact us at fnswrestling@gmail.com, fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or if you happen to be listening on YouTube, you can just leave a comment there, and I will always reply to any feedback that we get, positive, negative, or indifferent, I guess. So yeah, feel free. I'd love to hear from anybody. That being said, I believe it's time to start talking about some Ring of Honor wrestling. So let's do that now. So this episode begins with Quinn welcoming us and announcing the basic continuation of the Survival of the Fittest tournament taking place on tonight's show. She reminds us of the structure of the tournament, where if you forget, it's 6 qualifying matches with the winner of each of those matches facing off in a 6-way match for a for a shot at the Ring of Honor World Championship, I believe. So last week, Flamita beat Rey Oris, and we also find out that Brian Johnson defeated Sledge on, I didn't even know that Ring of Honor had a YouTube show. It'll come up again later in this podcast as well. And basically, each man, Sledge and Brian Johnson, cut really good promos on last week's show. If you listen to this podcast, you know I love Brian Johnson's promos. I think he's pretty much untouchable in that department. But that match took place on their YouTube show. So I watched a bit of it. I didn't see enough of it to comment on it, but it's one issue I have with them only having 1 hour of TV, right? I wanted to see that match, to be honest. And I'm not a big fan of having to go elsewhere to find things. If you listen to our main show on Saturdays, I complain about AEW sort of advancing stories or expecting me to be watching all of their stuff on YouTube. And I don't think that's fair because I'm not. So I guess I should complain when ROH does it too. It's a little less annoying when ROH does it because they only have 1 hour of television each week, and Dynamite has 2, soon to be a third hour for AEW. So I get that they can't get everybody on all the time, but I really don't love missing things because I'm not constantly checking YouTube for stuff. But anyways, that's a personal axe to grind that I have, I guess. So this week's match for the tournament will be Eli Isom, who has impressed me recently. I didn't know much about him before getting back into Ring of Honor, sort of after the reboot mid-pandemic, versus Dak Draper. And I did remember these two had faced before. I couldn't remember the result, but luckily they reminded us that they fought to a 15-minute draw in their last meeting. Then we'll get the main event tonight, which will be the Foundation's Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus will face the former champions in LFI's Dragon Lee and Kenny King. Personally, I'm really happy to see Dragon Lee back. I guess he was out, had surgery, is recovered. For me, he's one of the most impressive members of this roster. I really enjoy Dragon Lee. And the replacement while he was away was his dad, who's good and very good for his age. But I don't think there's much doubt that he's a significant step down from what Dragon Lee can do in the ring. So I'm really happy to have him back. Quinn then reminds us that after defending successfully against OGK in their last title match, the Foundation then announced that all of their tag title defenses would be held under Pure Rules. So I think I talked about it last week, but I'm not quite sure how that... It doesn't feel very much like a babyface move to me. You're basically demanding that all of your future matches are under stipulations and rules that you personally prefer. So I'm not quite sure how that's a babyface move, but that's the decision they made. So we'll see how that works out. So Quinn then sort of sums up again the pure rules for tag team matches. Just really quickly, you have to actually reach for a tag over the top rope while holding on the tag rope. And that is sort of reined in a couple times by the ref in this match. You only get 3 rope breaks per team, and breaking up a pinfall attempt counts as a rope break. That'll also come into play here. And then there is the 5-second rule after tags have been made is strictly enforced, so that you can't have both members of the team in forever just double teaming somebody in theory. And as well, there are no punches to the head. You get 1 warning and then you're disqualified. Punches to any other part of the body is fine. So we then get some quick promos from each of the competitors in the Survival of the Fittest match. Eli Isom speaks first. It's pretty brief. He basically says that beating Draper will be sweet, and he feels that if he had gotten the extra 5 minutes he asked for in their previous match, he would have already beaten Draper. Isom is going for this opportunity, and Dak is going to have to bring his best and then some to beat Eli Isom, and that's a promise. So the "that's a promise" seems to be his catchphrase. His finishing maneuver is called, I think, the Promise Brainbuster. I do love a nice brainbuster, so I like that about him. And then Draper gets his turn to sort of do the same thing, similar amount of time, basically. He says he's the tallest, the tannest, I don't know if that's a word, but I think it is, and the most handsome and the fittest. If we look at him, we can see that all that is missing is the world title. He won't overlook Isom again. He knew that their careers would intertwine, and he expects to be talking about bigger and bigger matches against Isom for the next 10 years. So nice effort here to put over Eli Isom as a young talent that Draper feels they're both going to be sort of at the top of this card for years to come. He says no one flies higher than Draper, and at the end of this tournament, he'll have his opportunity at the ROH Championship. And then his promo ends as he stands there smiling, because his idea is he's this big, tall, in great shape, handsome guy. So both guys I thought were really comfortable in these promos. Nobody really brought any fire intensity, I didn't think. They both made mention in their promos of Dalton Castle interrupting their last match against each other. I thought that was a bit odd, unless Castle is getting involved in this match as well, which we'll find out, I guess. Basically, these were standard, straightforward promos. I think Isom's improving in that area a little bit. He seems a bit more comfortable and confident, whereas Draper's always sounded good. He's a confident guy. He does well with these arrogant heel promos. So I thought solid promos, nothing spectacular, but decent work there. So we head into the match, Eli Isom versus Dak Draper. And going into this match, I was honestly not sure who would win. I personally would have Isom win. I'm a little more intrigued by his potential. I think that everybody kind of knows what they have in Draper. And placing Isom in a 6-way match with some big names, I think, would be great experience for him, because I see something in this guy. So I was hoping ROH was going to put him over in this match, but let's find out. We get the tail of the tape, and that reveals that Dak Draper is 6'5", 250, which in ROH, where there aren't a ton of monsters, makes him a very, very large man compared to most of his competition. So the two approach the Code of Honor, and the lights go out. They come back up, and Dalton Castle is on the stage, so he is. Obviously, it was no coincidence that they both mentioned him in the promos as he makes an appearance here, with 4 masked men in like shiny metallic boxer shorts and white V-neck t-shirts and masks. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I thought that both of them mentioning him was odd, so this kind of makes sense that he's coming out. So Castle kind of dances down the aisle as his entourage clap to the beat. For me, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but he really is channeling Johnny Depp from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is a great movie and an even better book if you're into books. Highly recommend it. He tells the competitors that he's just here to look at them. They'll do great, and he wants to see what they can do. And he just tells them to make it big. So he's sort of a recurring thing as he's outside the ring constantly saying, bigger, I want something bigger, make it bigger. So he wants it bigger, more impressive is his thing. So the Code of Honor then is adhered to, but of course Draper takes a shortcut and a kick to the gut of Isom here. So Isom has a huge diving senton not long after that to Draper out on the floor. Then we get strikes and an enziguri by Isom. Springboard sunset flip by Isom for 2, and then a big drop kick as Draper escapes to the floor. Castle's entourage are sort of cheering on Isom, and it distracts him momentarily. So this allows Draper to kick the ropes as Isom attempts to slingshot into the ring. So that sort of stops Isom's momentum at that point. Draper showcases his power with a deadlift outside-in suplex from the second rope that looked pretty cool, as Dalton Castle yells about needing to get to a gala after the match, so he wants this match to end because he has somewhere more important to be, I guess. We get strikes by Dak as Castle slowly does laps around the ring with his entourage following close behind. It's almost like he's the mother duck and he's all these little ducklings have imprinted on him and are following him wherever he goes. Very distracting outside the ring. I don't know if it's necessarily in a bad way, because I think that was sort of the point, but lots of attention paid to Dalton Castle here outside the ring. So we get a few holds and counters back in the ring, leading to a big clothesline by Dak Draper. Back elbow and axe handle after Draper runs up the up to the top in the corner. We get a high cross body over the top to the floor by Draper. Isom is then thrown into a barricade as Castle and his crew sort of scatter out of the way. Castle seems to be rooting for Draper at this point. I think even commentary might have pointed that out. We get a body lock by Draper, which is kind of the low point of the match, a bit of a lengthy body lock here, and a rope break for Isom. Isom does a schoolboy trip, but Draper blocks a brainbuster attempt. Then we get a doctor bomb by Draper for two, which always looks nice. Castle then keeps telling Draper to go bigger, right? He wants something bigger and more impressive. So Draper goes for the mile-high muffler, but it's escaped by Isom. Then we get a sidewinder suplex for a two count. Commentary team starts suggesting that Castle telling Dak to do bigger, more impressive things is taking him out of his game and allowing Isom to gain momentum, which it sort of seems to be the case. So they're going out of their way to sort of tell us this. We get a Denver Stampede Power Slam by Draper for two. He tends to name a lot of his moves, I feel like, even maybe a bit too much, because some of them are just regular moves that he... It's always related to Denver and Colorado and stuff, but anyways, a lot of signature moves for Draper. Draper sets up for the Magnum Drop. There's another one. But due to Castle's urging, he tries to go bigger, and he's trying to set either that move or something else up from the top rope. As Draper sets Isom up top, Dalton and his crew walk out, and this confuses and briefly distracts Draper. Like, they just basically head up the ramp and leave. After telling him they want to see something bigger, he sets up for something bigger, and then they just leave, so they're not going to even see it. So we get a headbutt by Isom to knock Draper down from the top, and then Isom hits his promised brainbuster and picks up the win here. So I thought this was a solid back-and-forth match. That was as much about Dalton Castle, I guess, as anything else, really. It's really seems to be developing something between Draper and Castle, as Castle seemed to manipulate Draper into trying things he normally wouldn't, and it ended up costing Draper. I think Draper looks a little bit silly for falling for it, but I assume it's to start a program between him and Castle, so that could be fine. I really like Dalton Castle. We'll see where it goes. And Draper doesn't seem to have much going on outside of this tournament, so now that that's out of the way, he can move on to dealing with Dalton Castle, I guess. I find Draper kind of plain in the ring at times, but it was a decent opening match. I like the choice to have Isom advance, obviously. He would have been my pick as well. I'm a little bit intrigued by him, and I think he has a bright future. He has shown more than this before. There was one other Isom match where I thought he looked really strong, but that could be due to all the attention to Castle on the outside of this match, that seemed to be at least as much importance as the actual match itself, was what was going on with Castle and his crew on the outside. So not a bad opening match. Nothing amazing, I would say, go out and watch, but a good match to start. We are then shown that O'Shea Edwards will face Chris Dickinson on ROH Week by Week. That's the name of the YouTube show, I guess. And we get promos now from each man. So this is the Edwards. I think I talked about it last week that I didn't know who this was. And I even went onto their roster to see who Edwards was, because I had no idea, and he wasn't on it. So I don't know very much about this guy. He cuts a promo here. He talks about belonging in ROH and being underpaid, but he says he'll deal with that later. He says he's focused on Survival of the Fittest tournament and is tired of Chris Dickinson saying that Dickinson is overlooked. Edwards says that Dickinson is an indie superstar and everybody knows him. He's been overseas and all over the country. Everybody knows Dickinson and nobody knows O'Shea, but that's okay, because everyone will know soon. The people behind the camera in suits are sweating right now, and so is Chris. Dickinson needs to produce and to win to keep the suits happy. Imagine when O'Shea wins and embarrasses Dickinson, basically. So Dickinson gets his chance to speak next. He feels like he's already proven he's the fittest. He says he's survived more adversity and he keeps on kicking out. Is everyone else prepared to face that adversity? He apologizes in advance to Edwards. It's nothing personal. His name was first on the list. Winning the title will be the best way to stick it to everybody in ROH. Everybody must understand that he will always give 110%, and he is the dirty daddy. So of these two promos, I really liked Edwards' promo. I don't know much about him, but he has this really believable, like, soft-spoken confidence that comes through. Like, you don't want to mess with this guy. He kind of feels like a guy who's seen a lot of things and isn't going to be rattled by much. So I was pretty intrigued because I don't know much about him, but I thought this promo was like understated, like intimidation kind of thing. I thought it was really cool. I'd be interested to see more of O'Shea. Dickinson's promo was fine. It was more like a straightforward, but he delivered it well. And I've seen him in the ring on the indies, so he is a maximum effort kind of guy. So we'll see. I don't know if I'll check that match out. Again, it's on their YouTube show, but I'm curious in O'Shea, so I may go check it out and see what he looks like in the ring as well. We then get to the main event, which is the Foundation, which is Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus in this match versus LFI, which is going to be Dragon Lee and Kenny King. And this is a pure rules match for the tag team championships. So no promos for either of these teams. I guess Dickinson and Edwards got their time probably. So the Foundation come out and they both have crazy masks on now that I think are new for one or both of them. Just for the entrance, they take them off for the match. But we get a half-hearted code of honor to start between these two teams. Starts out with mat wrestling by Kenny King and Rhett Titus. Then we get some tandem moves by the Foundation, culminating in a Titus clothesline and a clover leaf by Williams. King has to use the first rope break there. Lee tags in for a slap exchange with Tracy Williams. We get a spin kick and a Rana by Lee, who then heads for a dive. He sees kind of Tracy Williams' move, so he makes this adjustment in the air. He still goes over the rope, but he lands, plants his hands on the apron, and then flips gracefully to the floor. I'm not doing it a very much justice explaining it, but it looks really cool. Dragon Lee is just a crazy athlete. Williams then runs into the barricade and is sent into the ring for a big double stomp by Lee for a two count. We get a forearm exchange and a back suplex by Williams. There's some cheating by LFI here that goes unnoticed by the ref. It's basically one of those King kicks William in the back as Williams is running the ropes. Then we get a quick double team before King tags in. The ref, a couple times, I think, enforces LFI holding the tag rope as Lee comes back in, lands strikes to Williams and spits on Rhett Titus. Then the heels sort of isolate Williams and make frequent tags in their corner. We finally get a hot tag to Titus. He hits three consecutive neck breakers to King before a big belly to belly that causes King to use their second rope break to escape the pinfall attempt. We get a cartwheel kick and a blockbuster by King for two. Titus then with a counter that results in a superplex for Dragon Lee. Williams comes back in. He hits his turnbuckle DDT and a clothesline to Kenny King for a two count. King uses their final rope break, and commentary go out of their way to point out that it's been Kenny King who's used all three for his team. So I don't know if that was just a random mention or if that's going to come into play in the future at some point, but they did sort of make a note of that. We get a bow and arrow by Kenny King to Williams. Titus breaks it up with a top rope knee drop, and that counts as their first rope break. He then drags Tracy Williams to the corner and makes the tag. We get a running boot by Titus. A second one misses, and Dragon Lee's back in. Lee's on fire. It ends in a huge running drop kick to Titus in the corner. We get a forearm exchange, a rebound German suplex by Dragon Lee, followed immediately by a big clothesline from Titus for a two count. Dragon Lee's placed up top in the Foundation corner, but Titus gets stomped while hanging upside down before Williams gets hit by a diving senton from Dragon Lee. Excuse me. Royal flush by Kenny King, which does look cool, and Titus has to break it up, so that's a second rope break for the Foundation. Titus dropkick, which is one of his signatures, I think it's actually his finisher at times as well, takes out Kenny King, and Dragon Lee is left all alone. We get a super pile driver by Williams, and King dives in to break the count, but they have no more rope breaks because Kenny used them all, so the ref calls for the bell, the pin stands, and the Foundation retains their titles. So Bestia del Ring attacks immediately, the rest of the Foundation come out, and everybody starts to brawl. Titus lands drop kicks to King and Bestia as Lee chokes Williams with a cable on the floor. Gresham comes over to choke Lee with the same cable. Commentary go out of their way here to say that this is very out of character for Jonathan Gresham, that he must have snapped to be doing this, which was a nice touch. And then we sort of see Violence Unlimited are just watching from the top of the rank, top of the ramp, sorry, and smiling as the show ends. The only other thing they do show us is they always at the very end just mention next week's matches, which are Bandido versus Bateman and Williams Lee Deppen for the TV title. So this match, I thought it was solid, but it's lacking a bit of freshness. Like, it almost feels stale because these two groups have been battling, to me, for what seems like a very long time. I mean, I could be wrong. It just feels like this combination's been tangled up with each other for quite a while now. So this was the story of the Pure Division guys winning because of the Pure Division rules, right? So they basically won because of the limited rope breaks. Kenny King used them all. And then Kenny King could not make the save at the end of the match because he had used them all. So again, for the foundation, it feels kind of heelish to me. It gives LFI kind of a legitimate argument, right? Like, why do the foundation get to decide the type of match for all of their matches now? But anyways, I thought there was solid storytelling in this match. All of these guys are talented, experienced performers. They put on a good match. Nothing spectacular, but a good enough main event, I thought. So top to bottom, this show was solid, and I know I use that word a lot, but it's a good word. I like it. It's solid, but nothing more. Both of the matches were good, but they weren't good enough for me to say, like, if you're somebody that doesn't watch it but listens to me recap it to see what they missed, there's nothing I'm going to say that you need to go out and see this week. Dalton's heavy involvement in the Draper Isom match could be viewed as too much by some, but I enjoy his quirkiness, and I think it added a bit to the match. It didn't really bother me. I could see some people saying, like, there was way too much focus on Dalton Castle. It detracted from what was going on in the ring considerably. I think that's a fair argument, but it didn't bother me. The main event was good. It just feels like I've seen it before, and hopefully the addition of Violence Unlimited to this equation is going to freshen things up a bit. I think that's kind of the plan here. So I gave this show a solid B. Both of the matches were good. The show didn't waste my time in any sense, but I didn't love the show. I always want to just be excited to get on here and say that you need to go out and see this if you didn't see this. And I didn't get that feeling at all during this show, but I think it was still a pretty good show. So I gave it a B rating, which is, you know, good, I guess. So that's going to wrap up my Ring of Honor review for this week. Again, keep an eye out. There should be a couple other podcasts coming out. In fact, there might be one coming out tonight if I can convince my son to get down here and talk about some NXT TakeOver In Your House. So keep an eye out for that. I always just want to thank anybody that gives me any time out of their week to listen to me sit down here and talk about wrestling, or myself and my son if you're listening to our main show. If you haven't heard that, check it out. We put it out on Saturdays. We talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling. My son chooses a rewind match that from whatever he wants, and we sort of talk about that. Talk about news and rumors. He talks about wrestling figures. I try and stump him with some wrestling trivia, but the boy is a bit of an encyclopedia, so he knows a lot about wrestling. So if you need some more wrestling content in your life and you don't already listen to our Saturday show, we'd love to have you check it out. And again, send us some feedback. I love to hear from listeners. I don't very often, because there's not many of you yet. We're sort of still on the ground floor of doing this podcast, so thank you for joining me. I appreciate any time you spend with me. And I think that's going to do it for us. So until we're back in the studio recording, and hopefully you come back and listen, I hope everybody stays safe and that you have a great week. And until I see you again, take care.